Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're continuing to make our way through the season of Advent. The readings today that the church gives us are beautiful. They talked about essentially about the two ways, the way that leads to life and the way that leads to death. And both in the first reading from Isaiah chapter 48, Psalm 1, which is obviously the beginning of the Psalter and one of the fundamental books that orients us to the whole of all the Psalms, talks about the two ways. And then the gospel, which I'll touch on a little bit today as well, which Jesus is confronting the religious leaders and the excuses essentially that they're making about why they're not responding to Christ and his mercy and in his kingdom that's come. Again, I've been mentioning each day just briefly that it's important for us to enter the church year together, to walk through this amazing, what the church calls the Paschal mystery of the life of Jesus. It's the whole mystery of God's saving plan, right? Of the incarnation, life, death, resurrection, ascension into glory of Jesus, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. So we are a people who live in a story, a real story. It's the story of God. It's the story that tells us who we are, where we've come from, why we're here. And this is why the church in her wisdom, like a good mother, just keeps taking us year after year through words, through signs, through symbols, through liturgy, through events, through exhortations, through you name it, throughout the whole year. Everything we do, friends, at the liturgy of the church, whether it's the candles, the holy water, the holy oils, the vestments the priests wear, you name it, the colors, throughout the whole year, we're trying to tell a story. The church is telling a story, hopefully under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and drawing us into the story that's real. It's not just a past event, but we're living in something. We're living the reality of God's action of coming to save his people. It's happening right here, right now. And this is why the church begins being inspired by the scripture and by the Lord to begin the church year with a sense of urgency and saying, look, friends, the light has come. Pay attention. Wake up, shake yourself, be alert, look around, stand on the wall. Where do you see the Lord coming, right? We're anticipating, celebrating his coming in the flesh and being born of a virgin to be able to reflect on what's going on there. What is this? What's the meaning of this? And what does it mean for us right now? And what implications does it have on how I live my daily life? It's a really important question. And it should touch our lives that radically, that dramatically. Right? And then we have one eye again toward the second coming of Jesus. We know what he said about that, right? He's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We're the people on the earth. Every Sunday, we stand up in the creed and articulate this fundamental truth that we know he's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. He came the first time as a lamb in mercy to bring forgiveness to the world. And we're living in that time of mercy now before he's going to come again at the end of time. He came to establish his kingdom first, and that's exactly what he did. He broke the power of the devil over the lives of human beings for all those who say yes to him, the power of sin and death and its reign that the devil uses to dominate us in the waters of baptism. That power, that dominion, that reign is broken, and that kingdom then gets planted in us. And the reign of God, the new thing God is doing, the thing God's going to do now for all eternity is to allow his Son to reign, God the Father, to let his Son reign for all eternity. Jesus is saving a people. He's saving God's people, those who want God. And he's going to give them a share in what belongs to him and which could never be taken away. The destiny of the human race that was stolen by Satan, the liar, the murderer, who reigns in this kingdom of darkness. Jesus came and shed light into that darkness, and he broke the power, he broke Satan's back and broke the chains that bind us. And now the new king, the new one, the new humanity is born in Jesus, and it will never be stopped. And God's purpose will never be stopped in this king, in his beloved son. And God is offering to the whole world, because of the awesome sacrifice and gift of his beloved son, who he's madly in love with, to give a share in all that belongs to Jesus. This is what the church is about. We're living this story, and we're bringing people into the reality of this story. This is us. You're in the story. The question is, how are you living the story? That's why the church begins the church here by saying, wake up. Wake up. Do you know who you are? Do you know what's going on? Or are you just riding with the tide of life and society? Are you drifting with the culture? Are you conforming yourself to all that, you know, the commercials tell us to be, and all that the movies tell us to be? And are we in radically pursuit of money and fame and sexual prowess, you name it, whatever it is? How are you living your life? And so today's readings help us get clear, to have a renewed mind. Actually, today's also the memorial for St. John of the Cross, who's just a radical disciple who understood, and he's helped probably millions of people over the centuries learn how to walk in Christ and make the most of the time to live in the light. So the first reading is from Isaiah 48. There's these beautiful suffering servant readings from Isaiah, and messianic readings from Isaiah. And this is one of those that's anticipating and talks about the blessing that will come on all those who walk in the way of God. It says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. Right? He saves us. He comes to buy us out of slavery, comes to take us out of slavery. The Holy One of Israel, I, the Lord your God, teach you what is good for you. What is your good, right? What is for your good, and lead you on the way you should go. Wow. Just those last two lines tell the story. God is the one that knows what good is. God is goodness itself. You have something in you. We all desire the good. We get confused about what it is. That's another way of expressing the pursuit of happiness and human fulfillment. Ultimately, every one of us has a desire to do the good, to know the good, and ultimately to become good, to be like God. I, the Lord your God, teach you what is for your good and lead you on the way you should go. If you would hearken to my commandments, your prosperity would be like a river, your vindication like the waves of a sea, your descendants would be like the sand, those born of your stock like its grains, their name never cut off or blotted out from my presence. So how do we come into the presence of God? Obeying him, walking in his ways. Now here's Psalm 2, it's in the responsorial psalm. And the responsorial is, those who follow you, Lord, will have the light of life. You'll have light to walk in the darkness. So here's the first stanza. Blessed is the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. It's such a good meditation. Just that stanza is enough to chew on for weeks. Am I listening to the counsel of the wicked? Am I living a life? Am I living a double life? You know, I go to church on Sunday, but basically I live, as I enter the world, I'm living by someone else's rules. I'm looking to please men or to please myself. Are you walking? Are you living a way of life that's conformed to the will of God? And is that your passion? He says, the one who delights in the Lord, you know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what's the yoke of the Lord? Ultimately, it's the life he lived. It's a sharing in his life. But at the center of Jesus' life is obedience to the Father's commandments. It was his food. It gave him life. It was the source of his life. And we can look at it like, oh man, all these rules and oh, such a burden and it's such a weight and it's going to take the fun out of life and ruin my weekend. And we don't see the real truth of it. We think it's somehow going to steal something from us. It's going to steal our fun. It's going to steal our happiness. It's just going to make life dull. Really what we're fighting with is we want our will to be done. We want to do what we think is going to make us happy instead of entrusting our lives to God. And so he says, delight in the law of the Lord. I think of Psalm 37. It says, trust in him. Delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. He'll grant you the desires of your heart because you were made to live in God's will. And God's will is the place of fulfillment and happiness. So the next stanza goes on. It says, he's like a tree planted near running water. That is the one who listens to the counsel of God, that walks in his ways. that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers, because here's this tree. You're like a tree and your root system extends out and you're close to the stream of water, so your root system can go deep and it's always got access to what's going to keep it alive and give it life. That's what it means to walk in the law of the Lord. That's what it means to trust in the Lord. And what's the law of the Lord? In the new covenant, the law of the Lord really is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will teach you everything. The Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will help you understand the Bible. The Holy Spirit will makes alive the sacraments and the ministry of the church. It's the Holy Spirit will teach you how to love. It'll give you the power to have a new heart, to love and delight in what belongs to God. The Lord wants to bring you from burden and the lie that we're so easily seduced to believe that to walk the narrow way with God is just too difficult. I can't do it. I don't want to do it because it's going to be too hard. And I think I'm going to have a better way over here if I go this way. Or if we double dip, you know, we put a toe in the water, the kingdom, but we really want to live in the world and want to drink in everything the world tells us is going to make us happy. This psalm says, get out and get into the, you know, become that tree that's planted in healthy soil and it's being watered constantly. The next stanza, not so the wicked, not so. They're like chaff, which the wind drives away. Chaff is what it's dried. It's without water. It falls and it's easily blown about. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. It vanishes. Every moment you live in this world counts. Every day matters. And whether we presume on it or not, whether we think about, we assume we're going to be alive tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We can, I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll get serious about God tomorrow. That's really dumb. That's really dumb. Or first I'm going to run out and acquire my fortune and do all the things I want to do and get everything set in place, then I'm going to get serious about God. That's crazy. Because this very night, the scriptures remind us, Jesus himself taught, this very night, yeah, fill up your bins, fill up your bank accounts, fill it all up. Go, 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 24/7, drive, drive, drive. Don't have time for God. Don't have time to pray. Don't have time to get serious about being a child of God and making sure which way you're walking in. And then you die. And what happens when you die? Is judgment. And then our entire life, your whole heart, what you loved, what we did, what I loved, what I did, because I'm going to do what I love, right? Because I'm a human being. It's going to be revealed before God. So which way are you going to walk? In the gospel reading, Jesus said, to what do I compare this generation? He said, it came to you playing a flute and dancing and singing, you know, and then you didn't respond to that. And then we sang a dirge and the opposite of that. You didn't respond to that. And no matter, Jesus saying, no matter what I do, no matter what I say to you, you won't receive it. You won't receive me. Instead, you say the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Look, he's a glutton. He's a drunkard. He hangs out with tax collectors. But Jesus said, pay attention. You're missing the time of your visitation. Don't miss it. Is Jesus, are you listening to Jesus? Are you awake to his word? Are you asking yourself the question, what is God calling me to do and how am I doing it? What am I doing about it? That's a great couple of great questions to ask in this season of Advent, friends. God bless you. He's with you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.